Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life in New York City.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell. And this is Drama. There's so many exciting things going on right now because we have a big announcement to make right now. This is breaking news.
Why am I nervous?
I know. You know what the news is. And then also because our guest today, truly one of our most requested of all time.
I know. Every time we do a Instagram story where we're like, guess who's coming on the pod this week?
Mm-hmm.
We get his name every time. And that's every actually time. How we got in touch with him for this, yeah, because we tagged him in a story. But anyway, that was pre-COVID.
We tricked him. Yeah. And we actually had a date set. We were going to do it early April. And then we were like, let's do it. And Colton, I just said his name, but you know his name if you read the description. He was like, let's do it in November when everything's back. And we're still not back. So we decided to do it. Anyways, the big announcement.
The actual announcement that you meant to make. Dylan, I need you to do it because this is your baby.
Okay, we are finally, you can now get official Drama Podcast merchandise for
Meg.
Sizzling Designs. You can, of course, get our logo. You can get on a t-shirt.
Designed by queer artists.
All queer artists. Robbie Roselle designed our logo. It's you can get on a t-shirt. You can get it on a tote bag. And then there's also, there's our theme song t-shirt, which is called the Press Play t-shirt, which has the mugs on the breast pocket. It has the social handle on the back. There's also, of course, our theater, pop culture, love, and life in New York City t-shirt with the stacked text. You know, podcasts being a visual medium, everyone's like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And then
they'll see it on our Instagram.
There's our Risky Are You Well t-shirt, which pays homage to some gay Fantasia.
It pays homage to Grindr.
Right.
Yeah. Gay Fantasia. Oh my God.
Anyway, speaking of gay happiness, something big happened that's breaking news.
I know. And I'm still shaking because I can't believe this happened. You know, we talk about Chris Evans and Captain America being America's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's America's dick.
It is.
Because Chris Evans' dick pic has leaked.
Alleged.
And he leaked it himself on accident. Or was it an accident?
You know, I'm so used to giving. It's so nice to receive for once in my life. This gift, after everything that we've gone through this year, it's blessings on blessings.
I know. Oh my God. It's just great. And Mark Ruffalo was even kind of tweeting about it.
I know.
I think it's amazing. I think
they're so fun. They're so fun.
And he didn't let us down.
He did. Chris. The reviews are in. That's all we can say.
And I'll also say this. Who doesn't have a dick pic on their camera roll? So, no, he shouldn't be embarrassed. Everyone does.
All right. You know what? Enough of this tomfoolery.
I know. It's on my mind. So we had to bring it up. We had to bring it up.
Let's bring in our guest.
Also, it's 11:11. Make a wish. All right.
I hope everyone took a moment. I think everyone took a moment to wish in that pause. Connor, bring in our guest. He's been on the edge of his seat, ready to jump into this conversation the whole time. I can just tell.
Oh my God. Okay. Here we go. Our Kentucky Fried guest is one of the most in-demand leading men on stage and screen, in addition to being one of our most requested guests ever. With his Bachelor of Music from Baldwin Wallace University, he splashed onto the Broadway scene in 2016, standing by in Dear Evan Hansen. His stage credits include The White Card at ART, West Side Story in Lexington, Carrie, My Fair Lady, Dogfight, The Secret Garden, A Chorus Line, and so much more. He can be heard on the cast album of Alice by Heart, having appeared as the White Rabbit in its production at MCC. Our guest won a Theater World Award in 2019 for originating the role of Jean Lane in Girl from the North Country, which also opened on Broadway this past February. In addition to recurring on Homeland and The Americans, he appeared on Law & Order SVU and in the films Uncle Frank, The Social Ones, and Adam. This summer, he led the Sarah Bareilles /Jesse Nelson series Little Voice on Apple TV Plus, which we're obsessed with. And he's currently in pre-production for the eagerly anticipated movie adaptation of Dear Evan Hansen as Connor Murphy. Please welcome to drama, Colton Ryan.
Oh my gosh. It's, you know, the waiting room outside for the studio is so nice. I've just been waiting. And it's really great. You have like a Keurig out there. It's so nice.
Oh, Tracy didn't bring you the coffee? It was self-serve.
I didn't need a Tracy.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cause a stir.
No, we'll deal with it after.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm so sorry. I don't want to cause a... I think Tracy probably is wonderful. You shouldn't get rid of her.
I should probably just sit in the restroom.
Drama.
Also, you packed on my res. It sounded really nice when you said it.
You've done so many things.
Maybe, but it feels nice to hear you say it in that order. I was like, oh my God.
Colton, I know that we've known who you are for years and we have so much to talk about, but before we dive into everything else, I have one question to ask you. Are you well?
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. I'm healthy, which is all you can ask for, right?
It's been officially 6 months.
Are you all well?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now that it kind of is starting to feel like fall, and I feel as if there's not like a, I'm feeling more calm, I guess. Mm-hmm. We were actually talking about this yesterday. In March and April, that was like the scariest time I think I've ever experienced in my entire life. Just people, you didn't know what you could touch and what you couldn't touch. Everyone's losing their jobs. Literally everything is shutting down. People are getting sick. People are dying. It was just like the most horrifying thing ever. And I can't believe it's not near being over, but I can't believe we made it 6 months beyond like the day, you know, we were sent home from work. So I'm feeling more calm now because I feel like people have a better understanding of how to live their daily lives through this. So yeah, I'm well.
Interesting. I would love whatever cocktail you're sipping on, because I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, it is just getting worse and worse for me. Like I'm looking around and I'm like, it's so, we were just talking this the other day, my girlfriend and I, about, I've never, even with people I know and love, no one's behavior has ever been observed in such a way before. Like, you didn't know how your best friend was when someone like walked up and they were holding the door. You know, you didn't know if they were like, oh, thank you. Or if they were like, fuck off, punch them in the face, you know? But now we all know each other's like very distinct behavior, because we're all like, you post online and you're like, where's your mask? And like, you know, you're being observed, probably for a good reason, but it's also illuminating a lot that sometimes people I know and love, we have different levels of hygiene is the nice way to put it. And selfishness is the bad way to put it, I guess.
Yeah, 100%.
Not to get too dark about it, but like, you know, shit's crazy right now. So
it is crazy.
And people are just like bopping about. And I'm like, wait a sec. It has been 6 months and it's going to be another six months. So I'm hunkering. I'm staying in this house.
That's the thing, is like, anyone who's not in the entertainment industry, a lot of normalcy has returned, but like the three of us haven't gone back to the jobs that we had in March yet. And so it's, you know, like 54 Below isn't going to open anytime soon. And Connor works for a marketing agency on Broadway, and that's not going back anytime soon. So North Country's not coming back.
I mean, especially 54. I mean, like, is there even an AC vent in there?
There is.
In the basement?
Yeah, it was broken last summer when Cherry Renee Scott and Norbert Leo Butts were performing, and it was a hot summer in more ways than one.
Oh, I was going to say, my gosh, that writes itself.
God, I forgot about that. It's like, it's so removed now from my mind that I don't really think about life before, because like, we've left New York to come back to Cleveland just for now to have more space. It's just so different. Did you stay in New York in the beginning?
No. My mom insisted, was like, come home now. And frankly, I mean, it was like, yeah, it was either a house where we could actually just kind of like, or even just outside. I mean, it was the idea that like we could go outside, which was a privilege,
sure.
But Yeah, I got in the car and we went to Kentucky and we stayed there for like 4 months.
Wow. Did you ever think you'd be back home again for that long of a period of time?
You know what's funny? I'd always wanted to scratch that itch and I'm glad it's over.
Yes. Yep.
Dylan says the same thing all the time. Like he's always like for years, he'd be like, you know, wouldn't it be cool to just see what it's like in Ohio again? Well, we back.
You got it.
Now, not to change topics.
Wait, Dylan was being so dark about it. He was like, I feel like I manifested this. And I was like, Dylan, you did not manifest moving home for 6 months. Like, this is crazy. You're being a psychopath.
Anyway, I know.
Not the pandemic.
You have some experience in Ohio yourself. You went to college here.
I do. Mm-hmm. I know the area quite well.
What do you hold most close about your time at Baldwin Wallace?
You know, it's funny. I feel like actually part of the like scratching the itch of old like nostalgic memories and things is like, I left school a little early to do Irving Hansen, and so there's like a couple things I just like wanted to do the last time, and they're really dumb. They're pretty much like going to Crocker Park and skipping class on a Friday and just like very very like run of the mill. Like very commercial, like take me to the Aveda, get my hair cut, go to the Cheesecake Factory.
God, we love Crocker
just
Park.
Sit. Crocker Park can.
Have you ever been to B Spot, you know what I mean? Like, Michael Simon restaurant there?
Of course, I've been to B Spot. Good milkshakes, great.
Yeah,
and they have that like wall of like all the beers that like
it's sweet.
Yeah.
You
know, it is very sweet. It's also there's like a couple things like that, like or just like walking around. Honestly, like Berea in the fall was really nice.
Oh, I can picture it.
Actually, Berea in the spring. Yeah, both, you know.
Yeah, because you left like what, like fall, like November of...
Yeah.
Actually, I remember
my
boyfriend was auditioning at Baldwin Wallace for musical theater programs. And he said that you performed like at like the audition day or something like that.
Yeah, that's a crazy story. As I get older, I think about how crazy it actually was. But when I got Dear Evan Hansen, I had been rehearsing for months to do West Side Story at my school. And the only caveat of like, so my program had Vicky, she like was like acting as like co-agent on the deal, like brokering it, like protecting my interests pretty much. And her only like stipulation was that I had to be able to perform in West Side before I left. Now, schedule wise, that wasn't going to work. I needed to fly immediately to New York and start learning the show. So we figured it out where I went for 3 days, learned the entire score and watched the show 3 times, flew home, performed a week's worth of West Side Story, and then got in a car and drove all my belongings and moved officially right after that.
Wow. Holy shit.
Which I think about all the time now of like the fact that a Broadway commercial producer was like, yeah, that seems fair. That is so wild to me.
Stacey Mindich wanted you.
Like, or just desperate at that point. I don't. It was like also like it was game time. And I think they were just like, you know what? Yeah. I mean, like people are paying money to see this thing, and they're like, have a good time at your graduation. It was like so, like, oh, this kid needs to finish. He needs to finish what he started, which was actually very kind, and I really like. It was really emotionally. Like very fulfilling for me to do that because I'd always wanted to do the show, and the fact that we're doing it at school, and it was like I was leaving. I mean, it was, you could probably imagine.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, and everyone was so funny and shitty to me about it, being like, I could not go to rehearsal without being like, Broadway's cool. Like every time I'd walk in, which of course I hated and I loved.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now, okay, so how soon then after you left BW did you actually go on for Evan?
It was, actually, what time is it today? It was April.
Oh, wow.
And it was a Sunday. And well, yeah, no, because Ben was like, I mean, it was crazy watching him do that because he just was like an alien. I mean, like just genuinely was like, I'm going to do this 8 times a week. And he was going the full distance. And it just was like, you know, April, it was like over almost like 200 performances at that point. And it was like, oh my God, how could you do this? It was amazing to watch. And so when it happened, I felt really prepared, and that was like quite a gift. And the craziest part of this whole thing is that same Sunday was by some stroke of luck, the same time that my classmates were there for the showcase. I don't know. Do you all know this story?
No.
This is like a crazy thing that happened where like my, so I hadn't seen my best friends for like, you know, 3 months, 4 months. And they're all getting ready for showcase and stuff. And they just come. I'm so excited for this weekend because it's like, they're finally going to be moving here and they'll, and I'll have my friends again. And we're like literally at the like alumni brunch that Sunday morning. And I just get a phone call. It's like, you're going. And so we literally like all of us just, we were all there. I mean, like we probably bought like 30 tickets that day or something like that. We literally ran over from what the Lori Beachman having alumni brunch, walked over with like pitchforks at the box. I was like, give us the fucking tickets. Like this kid is going on. And we got like, we really packed the house. We really peppered it. So to speak, I guess, but like, it was so funny. Cause I mean, I had prepared myself, you know, when they do the whole, that, you know, opens the laptop, it's been, everyone claps. It's kind of written into the show mm-hmm. now, but it can live as a moment alone. You know, it's not exactly like a star entrance mm-hmm. moment. So I was waiting. I was like, yeah, it's fine. I'm just going to open the laptop. We'll just keep going. And because all my friends, they all like leaned to their people next to him. They're like, hey, that's my friend. If you don't mind, like there's this part, he opens the laptop. You're going to want to clap there. I'm going to be clapping. Just follow my lead. Like, So it was amazing. I mean, it went on for like a minute and a half and it was like, I started crying, you know, it was the whole thing. And then we did it. I mean, yeah, that was my April. I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just kind of,
it was kismet. Oh, how fun is that? I've never heard that story. I love it.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was wild. I mean, it felt too like, it was like, this is too cosmic.
What do you remember, other than that, what do you remember from your first performance as Evan?
I remember something very distinctly. I remember that rehearsing the show and stuff, I had felt very, very, you know, I was young. I felt very weak. I felt like I couldn't really like handle the full weight of it, even though I knew how to perform it. I felt like I could sing it, especially like, on its own, but it's a marathon. So I just was so nervous of like, every time we rehearsed it in succession, just one or two things would go wrong. And it just didn't make me feel right. And I just felt so scared. And I remember distinctly when waving started, which is I think still the most nerve wracking part of the show. I remember I had like kind of just like laid on the ground in the dressing room and sort of like manifested to a couple different angels of that mm-hmm. I know and saying just like, please give me the strength for this. And I remember going out and doing waving and I'm not really spiritual. I'm not really superstitious or anything like that. Not a lot. But I remember actually feeling like I was outside of my body. Like I felt all of a sudden this, like my body was grounded. I was above it. And I just watched as I just sang the song better than I ever probably sang it. And it was so bizarre because that was the part that I was really most nervous about. And then it just was like, it was too ooky spooky. Like it was also, we were all there for my late friend Kyle's, mm-hmm. They have a foundation and we were there also that evening. We were going to be going to this huge fundraiser mm-hmm. for him. And I just was like, it was also in the same, it was a theater right next door. He performed at the Imperial. Right. So I just felt, I thought it was him. I mean, in a lot of ways, I just felt like he had just genuinely picked me up and was like, I'm going to take this here. I'll do this for you.
Wow.
And it was never that easy ever again.
I am like, I'm almost moved to tears, Colton. That is absolutely gorgeous. That's so cool.
It was cool. I mean, I'm not, cause that's the thing. I'm not really into that kind of stuff. It was weird for me. I was just so scared and like in a dark place that I just literally laid on the ground and was like, please help if you can. I don't do this, but you know, I'm not a prayer or anything mm-hmm. like that. So it was just like, if you can. Like I could really use it. And I think the whole thing was just to be like, hey, you got it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm going to just pick you up a little, but you have it, you know, it was pretty awesome.
Oh my God. Thanks for sharing that. Cause that is like, that's unreal. That is seriously. So then you were with Evan Hansen, like maybe like 6 more months beyond that.
Oh no. Oh yeah. 6. Yeah. You're right. Exactly.
We had tickets to see the show in like mid-July 2017, and we found out Ben wasn't going to be there, but we had already seen him at Arena Stage. So we were like, oh, cool, we'll get to see Colton. And then it was like literally, I think the first time Michael, his name Michael Lee Brown, went on And although we were excited to see him, we were bummed to miss you. We were like, oh my God, of course this is happening. But so we were that close to seeing you as Evan.
Michael was great. But I'm sure I was also bummed that you...
Yeah, definitely. You could feel it. So after you left Evan Hansen, you probably thought that that chapter was over. And then...
Yes, I very much thought it was.
I know it's like still very early. There's probably not a whole lot you can say. But now you're going to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I made a point to close the door. I was like, you know, this was... the most impactful thing that's ever happened to me. But, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, it's still something I think that the industry has to work on in terms of like how they include or how they just kind of manipulate the hierarchy that gets sort of just instilled in people of like, you know, if you're an understudy or standby, I want to say it's nobody's fault, but it's everybody's fault. It's just that you kind of get, you know, dunked on a bit. And like, I felt, you know, proud of the work I'd done there, but I wasn't in the DNA of it. You know, I actually joined on the last day of tech on Broadway. So, I mean, the show was written. I mean, it was a perfect egg at that point already. So as much as I was like learning it, it was more about playing catch up and it was less about feeling like I was really like adding something mm-hmm. to it. You know, that's not anyone's sure. fault. It's partially my own, but you know, I closed the door to being like, you know, I think I need to try. I like this feeling. I like feeling around this energy. I'd never been around something that was new. And I liked it, even though I was just in the tailcoats of it. I really enjoyed it. And so I was like, I guess I gotta move on so I can try to continue to do things like that or start doing things like that. And so for it to come back in this way, especially because, I mean, I'll be frank with you. I didn't feel particularly like exactly down the money any one of those three guys.
Okay.
On paper, but you know, it was funny. By the end of my time there, some people had like been like, "Hey, you know, maybe Connor, yeah, maybe," which I always thought was really strange. I mean, I grew up like, you know, in like Kentucky playing like sports and things. I was never like the dark kid. Mm-hmm. I perpetually look like I'm smiling. So like, it's not like, how do I put it? It's still feelings I understand mm-hmm. and get and like, and for it to come back in this way the fucking movie,
I know. You know what
I
mean? Like, crazy. Like,
talk about like, I'm just riding, you know, I'm like, I'm a hands up. I'm just riding mm-hmm. out.
When I saw you were announced, I was like, oh my God.
Legit. And also the people that are playing your family as well. I'm just like, I see it. I mean, Amy Adams, come on. Like this is going to be, I think she's going to win the Golden Globe for supporting performance in a film. I really do.
Listen, from your mouth, you know?
I just think it's going to be great. And I also like the idea that, I mean, I don't really think you and Ben look similar, but I like the idea that Evan and Connor do in that way for when Evan does enter the Murphy family. It's like this weird replacement surrogate yep. type situation. So mm-hmm. I'm so excited for you. Oh my God. Thank you. The role of Connor, I think the fans have latched on to significantly. I mean, I see so many like fan art pages. People love this character. So I think you're going to do it justice.
Well, I think it's, thank you. I think it is a, someone asked me this the other day, cause it is a big responsibility just cause you know, there's a purpose for why it's like the Connor character, what you know of him as a, like, you know, the first two scenes, the person who he really is, you don't really get a full glimpse into just so that the symbol of it, of like, of when you're watching it, it's sort of like the, as one director once put it to me, he's the Jesus of the show in so many words, because he genuinely, like, you don't get to know him, but you know that place, you know that feeling, and then he takes his life for yours. You get to watch. Mm. You get to, and quite literally, as I make a joke, but in the show, the way it's built is like he comes in and one boy trades his life for Evans, right? It's like they're both there and one takes the, just from like a very like global storytelling, mm-hmm. like, you know, it could, it, but that's the thing that's so sad about, especially like even with COVID, like 25% of at-risk youth are now, you know, suicidal. This COVID thing is just upping it like crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's just about being able to watch someone, I think and see it all play out, as unfortunate as it is, and yet see how much it crushes a family, how much they matter. Mm-hmm. You get to actually watch it in real time and you go, okay, maybe I should hold on, because maybe I matter as well. And maybe I should, you know, there's just a lot there, I think, for people to watch and, or also not watch, you know, it's like to kind of just get a glimpse into and then be protected from, to not have to see all of it. It's just, it's a big responsibility, I think. And I'm very thankful and humbled to do it. You know,
you're going to rock it. I am so excited for you. And whenever it comes out, we'll be cheering you on. So this is like kind of like where your career is at now, but Connor and I really love to talk about where your career might have began, or like when that little seed was planted in your head, with this segment we call the Ring of Keys moment. And it's sort of just when you were bitten by the entertainment or theater bug. Do you have like a specific time in your life that you can recall?
Does it need to be a voyeur thing, like something I saw or something I did?
It could be anything.
Either.
Okay, because it's easy for this seeing it. My mom made me sit down and watch West Side Story, the film, when I was in seventh grade. And I was like, whoa. Because I was like, that guy sings like that. And he gets Natalie Wood. I was like, whoa. Like, it just like, it all clicked. And it really like, now I hate even saying it out loud. Like that is like the baseline of like, I went into theater because of girls, which I hate. But the reality is the first time I ever did it, got the bug, was like, I was in the fifth grade and we did a production of The Wizard of Oz at my art school. It was the middle school production, and then the fifth graders and fourth graders were asked to be Munchkins.
Nice.
And of course, and I had never done theater, but it was a little arts program, and I was a vocal major, and so they were like, well, let's pepper in some vocal majors to be singing roles, soloists. So I was the coroner of Munchkin City.
Oh wow.
Now the intent of this was to have a sweet little boy just come out and sing in his like little tenore, you know, castrati, like "Ask Coroner, I'm lost a fur." And I would not have it. I when I got the role, I literally like went home and I like took the, like, I don't know if it was VHS at this point or DVD, but I was just like rewinding the tape to back to, because you know the movie, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and of course the coroner is just like the Swedish coroner is like "As Coroner, I must."
Yeah,
you know, and like it's like this whole character thing. I loved that. So I just would watch it over and over, and I like perfected this accent, brought it in, cut out of town immediately. It was like, get out. Nope. Don't, what are you doing? It was like, and I realized, I was like, I had never worked on anything that hard until then. And only to be stolen from me before we even made it to the stage.
Cut out of town. Savage.
You learned that lesson young though, you know?
Yeah, something, you know, sometimes it's for the service of the story. It's just not going to work, you know, even if it's a good moment.
So you settled on the, like, the traditional kind of sweet little boy performance, right?
Yeah, and I think everyone could tell, like, my family included could tell that I was, like, really half-assing it once, because I was like, this isn't me, this isn't my work. Like, like as a little fifth grader, was just like, this is just bullshit. I'm just going to do it, you know?
Is your Twitter profile picture you at the age in which you played this role?
I have it right here. I bet that's around the, yes, I'm sure that's around the right.
Because I can see it so clearly.
Actually, that's a little younger. That's got to be like second grade. Okay, okay.
It's so cute and curious and wild.
Mischievous.
I've been finding a lot of those recently because, you know, I spent a lot of time at home. So I was looking and I was like, what happened? I was a cutie. I am obsessed.
Aw, yeah, I can still see it. You still look like that, Colton. You do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I was fishing. Thank you.
Now, I do want to mention something else that we loved you in. We actually came back to see the show a second time. Was Alice by Heart.
Woo!
Yes.
We're like huge Spring Awakening fans. So anything that's like in that vein of, obviously it's Duncan Sheik and Steven Sater, but we were just listening to the album yesterday. It is so good. Your voice sounds perfect on there. You're like it's like the John Groff of that album. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure as you're a Spring Awakening fan, like.
I'm putting that on my website. The John Groff of, I love that.
You are. What's the one? It's like, we went down the hole. It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, that was honestly like one of my greatest New York experiences, like walking over to 10th Avenue in the freezing cold, like with that group, and that cast was like unbelievable. And that's where I met Jesse, who ended up being my boss for Little Voice. You know, like none of that would have happened if it wasn't for Alice and our work together on that. And I mean, yeah, Steven and Duncan are like, were, you know, huge idols in my brain, and now like are close friends. And it's just things that you just like don't expect to happen. You know, you're just like, yeah, it'd be nice to meet people like that, but to work with them or them to actually respect your work. Like, I mean, that's just like, that's like things you only dream of.
That's so cool. You were amazing. I mean, the whole cast was amazing. I remember actually one time seeing a whole group of you, like as I was leaving 54 one night, you guys were all like linked arms walking down the street.
Really?
I know I spotted like Molly Gordon and Noah Galvin and you and
me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Maybe Wes.
I think Wes was there. Yeah.
That sounds right.
It was truly an ensemble cast of stars.
It was unreal. I mean, like Grace, Heath. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like wild watching everyone work. Cobra. I mean, just like watching people pop off scene to scene.
Wow.
I got to watch like a ton of it. Poor them. They were always just like dancing and dancing the whole time through. And just cause like I was sick boy, I got to sit out.
You were sick.
So I got to watch. Oh, very. I was like TB when there was like no cure, like that sick.
It was bad. It was sad to watch.
We loved the show though.
It was cool to see because I think we saw it really early on. And I remember specifically the ending changed by the time we saw it a second time. Like I think at one point your character was like,
right.
He moved up. Yeah.
Wow. You saw that. Yeah.
And then when we went back, I love that about theater, that it is ever evolving. And I think that is such a neat part of it. I remember when we saw Dear Evan Hansen at Arena Stage, we saw it in previews. And at one point they called out like, stop. Like, I don't even know who it was in the crowd, but the show stopped. It was in the scene in act two when Heidi.
The moms meet for the first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, she's meeting the Murphy parents. And I remember Dylan and I were shook because we'd never seen anything like this before, but they're like, freeze or whatever they said. And they stopped and they got off. I guess the couch, all they did was move the couch like a slight angle. But they went back and then they just reset the scene. And we were like, this is why. Like, I don't know what was going on. Like, obviously, they're not going to explain to the audience, like, why they paused.
I wonder what that would even. The only thing I've ever seen like that was I once saw the fifth preview of Miss Saigon. And I watched as the helicopter didn't.
Sad.
And it was. No, it was like a rock concert. I mean, people like. That's why you pay for those tickets, is you want to see that shit go down. And like. When that thing didn't fly, the cheers in there, I mean, it was like, for something that was like, you know what you're cheering for, right? Like, this is failing. Like, but it was like, honestly, it was so uplifting because, like, I'm sure for them, I mean, I could see this one woman who's like, was like acting her face off, like, against the gate, being like, let me through. And then I could see her as her, like, back was against the wall and she was hitting it, like, and then all of a sudden she just was like,
oh.
Like literally like just like defeat. Oh, it's not coming. And for the audience, like it's like that's why you want to go, is because then you want to see that stuff, and then everyone just like wanted to succeed afterwards. Everyone was like screaming like when it came back. I mean, you couldn't hear in there. It was like, yes, there's a helicopter in this fuck. fucking building. Like, it was just like crazy.
Oh, I love that. I'm jealous. Yeah, that. And then I feel like the audience is on the side of the cast for the rest of the show, whether they were loving it or not. It's like, you feel like you're a part of something.
Oh yeah. How can you not be? It's like, we've all been through this mm-hmm. together. It's like, I would love to know what it was like to have been in that one, like, Groundhog Day.
I know.
Where it like didn't happen. Like, that would have been, cause they like stayed for like 3-4 hours.
Didn't, was that where they ended up being sort of like a concert? Wasn't it like the first preview?
Yeah, they kept like trying and trying, and it just like would not happen. And then I think it took like almost upwards of like an hour, and they just like came out with chairs uh-huh. and stands, and they just did a concert.
Wow.
But people yeah. were there for forever. But I would have stayed.
Oh, like, which yeah. is yeah, which is like crazy. I remember thinking, like, this is so Groundhog Day to have to like restart the show over and over again.
Over and over. Yeah, yeah. The meta.
Truly. Okay, so you mentioned meeting Jesse Nelson, who was one of the, her and Sarah B together created Little Voice, which we love, our mom loves. Like, it's like, it's such a good show. It's like,
it's meant for your mom. It's meant for your mom to love.
She was like, I can't believe you're talking to Samuel.
Because we told her, of course. We're like,
she was big team Samuel.
That is amazing.
Big team Samuel.
That's mm-hmm. good. She wanted Sam Endgame.
She did.
That's good.
I mean, he was available.
Emotionally and just quite honestly, physically yeah. was there. Yeah. Was very
he
available.
Was always there for her. He was so nice. I mean, you did a great job. Mm-hmm. And obviously this wasn't your first time on television, but like, you were just so natural. I think sometimes like stage performers are used to doing it so big that when you get on screen, sometimes it can appear a little, maybe not really over the mm-hmm. top, but it might be difficult, but you were so dropped in. It was awesome.
I think it's, you know, acting is acting. So like, it just depends, you know. It's like, if I was on a NBC sitcom, like, it would have been a shitty performance. You know what I mean? Like, it would have been like, that kid is too dropped in. You know what I mean? Like, so I know what you mean, but I feel like it sucks. Cause also like in, even just like the casting realm, we get a bad rap as theater mm-hmm. people. Cause it's like, just because you didn't stigmatize yourself as like a, oh, I'm just mm-hmm. this kind of actor. I'm just with it, you know. Because of that, you're like, oh, we can't find a place. They're gonna be singing every time they're on screen. They're gonna be jazz hands in and like,
yeah,
you know what
it
I mean?
Sucks too, because the other side of it, like, people rejoice when a film actor steps on stage. It's like when mm-hmm. Neil Patrick Harris did Hedwig, or like anytime, like even like Chris Evans, like when he went from Marvel to doing yeah. Lobby Hero. People are like, ooh, like, no one thinks, oh, a movie star can't do Broadway, but sometimes the other way around.
That's true.
It's weird.
Yeah, there's a lot more give and take of like, oh, I can't wait to see how they, like, and even, because the bar is so low mm-hmm. at that point, and of course they're gonna like way exceed it, because of course they're very talented. It's just always like this weird vicious cycle of like going to see someone to be like, oh, I love them in that film, and then, oh, they'll probably be just okay, and then of course they're mm-hmm. great, and they're like, oh my uh-huh. god, they are so good. Yeah. It's like, yes, it is just a camera or a proscenium. Like, it's just one uh-huh. or the other.
But yeah, I really liked Little Voice. I think I liked that it felt very, like, it wasn't, although it was a drama, you know, it was very sweet and hopeful. Mm-hmm. I just really liked that. And my favorite episode, oh my God, was the one where they filmed the music video.
Yeah.
It is just like, have you seen the movie Begin Again with Mark Ruffalo, Keira Knightley, Catherine Keener, Hailee Steinfeld?
No, I know of it, but
it's,
no, I
understand. It's a similar, like, they decide to record an album and use New York as, like, it's live as the studio, mm-hmm. so you can hear, like, the sounds of the city in it, but they do stuff like that where they're, like, you know, just going through, you know, they're on a rooftop or they're in an alley, and it felt, I was reminded of that movie when I was watching that episode, but it was just so good. It was so sweeping and romantic, and that song is a bop.
Yeah, it is. That song is like a bona fide yeah. bop. That was our favorite one too, because like, TV is also strange. You don't like interact with a lot of the people. Like, we all had not met each other mostly until that episode, because everyone kind of has their thing with Bess, and it would go back mm-hmm. and forth. And so we always called it like the Avengers episode, because we all just teamed up. And yeah, I mean, I think it shows. Like, it's like, it's so much. Well, it's also like the turning point. I'm not going to get into the details of what the plot is, but you know, it's like, it was, that one's just like full of mm-hmm. joy. And it starts getting sort of like, Well, it's also where I start shooting my shot, you know?
You so do, like, and you're no fool, because you're like, all right, we're all going to go grab drinks, and she's like, I guess I'll, like, catch you there soon.
I'm going to hang back, and I'm like,
You're like, okay, I see what's going on here. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Connor and I were laughing. Like, that only happens in TV. Like, if one of your friends was like, Emma, I'll catch up with you in a second. Like, you'd be like, no, I'll just wait with you. Like, that never happens in real life. You know?
That is so true. Like, oh my God, no, it's like so dark. We're in the middle of a park. Like, yeah, it'll just be a second, right?
But that happens in TV and film all the time.
That is so true.
I do have one gripe with the show, and it's that you didn't get your own solo song.
Season 2, baby.
I know. We're crossing our fingers for it. Yeah.
Well, we don't know that much about Samuel in general, so I hope we dive into him. Because it is Bess's perspective, right? Like, I think it is one of those rare shows nowadays where there's a lot of characters, but it really is how she interacts with them. Aside from maybe a few scenes with her, with Prisha and her brother, it's really what she's up to. So hopefully, if there's season 2, I think there will be. I think Apple TV Plus, this is me talking out of my ass, but I think it's a new network. They're not going to just cancel all of their, you know, first season shows that are out there. So I have high hopes that they'll be like, yeah, we'll give it another shot.
From your mouth. I love your manifestations all today. Yes.
Yeah.
Amy Adams.
What? Yeah. Amy Adams is going to win a Golden Globe.
We're getting season 2.
You're gonna slay Waving Through a Window in 2017. So all of this,
that was his
retroactively.
I really hope for the best for more of that. I love it so much, and I just have to ask, did you get to interact much with Sarah Bareilles?
Oh yeah, we were like in the studio a lot of times. Yeah,
I'm so jealous.
I mean, that was like, she knows, like, it's like embarrassing at this point, like I go on things and I'm like, I'm a huge fan because she's genuinely like my boss and we hang out quite often. So like when we were in the studio, those are probably like, I like days on set, but like, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed being, I'd never been in a recording studio of like that capacity of like actually sitting on the couch and like kind of volleying and having ideas and things. And like, that was the thing. She's one of the best songwriters of our generation, and yet she would still be like, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think you should do harmony wise here? And I was like, I don't know. You know, like, it was like, I was gooped by the whole thing. I still am, that she would like, I mean, she's just so, I mean, everything that the show is, which is like, you know, like love and light and warmth. And like, that's just all comes from like the philosophy of House of Bareilles. Like, it's just, that's kind of like, her and Jesse's thing is just like, it's real. You can't fake that level of like genuine warmth, you know? And yeah, they dish it. I mean, it's just, it's everywhere. It trickles down.
That makes me so happy. Well, you did a phenomenal job. And I'm wondering too, because it looked like it was kind of cold when you were filming it. Was this, did you film it in 2019, like fall or like?
Yeah, it was 2019. We shot from like, end of August till November.
Okay. Oh, wow. Because then North Country.
But it looks like a summer show. It has a very much like a summer haze.
Yeah. God. And I will say, it made me miss New York so much, like being away from it and like those nights, like in the village or wherever you might be, like, made me miss it. But okay. So then North Country happens right after that. And this is like sitting in the can.
Right.
We saw North Country right. I think it was your last preview, I want to say. We love seeing the last preview because the show's like frozen.
But the tickets are cheaper.
Yeah, but it's still exciting. Something that we've found out. We won't tell anyone.
Do you think anyone's listening?
I'm giving away $1 million ideas here. Is anyone listening?
We talked to Austin Scott earlier this summer just about that show, and he sang your praises, of course. And just like, what about like a unique Americana haunting story that was like, what was that experience like so far? I mean, once this all comes back, I would hope that North Country is one of the shows that returns to the Belasco.
Yeah. I'd say it's, you know, me manifesting again. Like I think it's a good shot. I mean, but first off, let's just sing Austin Scott's praises for a little more, you know, what a cherub.
I know.
So great. Like,
so talented and like the nicest man I've ever met.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
He was like right down the hall. That's the thing. We were just, that's actually like the biggest heartbreak of the whole thing too, is like, so Austin and I just like had met, you know, from doing this version. And I mean, he was down the hall and like, we were just getting settled. Like I had the Xbox set up. Like it was like time to start hanging, about to go on like a double date, like the whole thing, you know. It was like, I that's the stuff I miss more than anything, was just like, it almost would have been better not to have opened. Mm. Like if we had just like not even, I say that, but that probably wouldn't be true. But like, that's my favorite part about the whole thing, is like getting, like we worked hard and hard, and we worked, you know, in 2018 really hard on it. And like, and it was like going to be finally time to hit the stretch, like the time not to like relax, but I mean, kind of to like actually just be able to be like, yeah, we did this. It's in really good shape. We know how to do it. Now we can like have a drink after the show, you know, like that's the kind of stuff. That's the stuff you live for, in my opinion. That's like that's the part, is like the community and the fun part with like everyone else in the building. And yeah, I mean, what was the question exactly?
I mean, I love listening to you talk about it. I was just curious, like what your experience was so far with creating this role on Broadway.
Yeah. I mean, it was wonderful. It's kind of hard to think of it as like an experience, because like when we did it the first time, we became such like a tight knit unit that this sounds so lame, but it didn't feel like work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it just was, we were all just showing up. We all kind of, even though the show would change a bit here and there, we knew what we were trying to do. We'd done the work outside at the Public and like,
yeah.
And you know, little internal thing here, internal thing there, but like, but for the most part, everyone was pretty like, was in game mode, like just knew exactly. So it was like a lot more fun. It was a lot more, there was like excitement percolating in the air always. I mean, it just felt like victory lap is like the wrong word for it, but that's kind of the feeling everyone was, I feel like always going in with, was like, we knew that even if it like somehow did worse than it did at the Public, right, that we were all very, very proud of what we had done. And that was, you know, that's like, so no, I it's like hard for me to remember even like specific moments, because we were just kind of like very familial with each other. So every day was sort of like, I mean, I shared a dressing room with Mark Kudish. I can't wait for that again, just because the sheer amount of conversations I never would have had in my life. In the month span, it was the odd couple. It is the odd couple. I still get a call from, like, we still talk every, like, once every 2 weeks or so. I'm like,
that's so nice.
And he's like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Like, good. So yeah, I miss that kind of stuff.
That makes me sad, but I'm hopeful that everything will come back in a beautiful new way. I mean, the show is so dark, and I mean, it's fascinating. We saw it at the Public.
Dark.
Oh, yeah.
The lighting, especially in the theater, you're like, it's such a mood.
You're in it. You're in the crawl space. Yeah. It's like, he's like, cut the lights. Let Mayor turn away from the audience. Don't sing your song. Don't give it, you know, it's like, it's also like rock and roll. That's the thing I miss too. It felt so like, even though it is a reverent piece to just theater in general, it still felt very like miniature punk, you know. It was just like a little bit punk about the whole thing. It was a little just like, fuck you, the whole thing, which just kind of like, that gets me going, you know, that's my kind of jazz. So like, so I miss, yeah, that kind of, that the darkness of it. I miss that, being like the dark kid on Broadway.
And in the haunted theater, you know, like the most haunted theater of them all.
I know, people would say they saw the woman, they're like, the Mrs. Velasco or whatever, people would say all the time.
Up in the balcony, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, that stuff scares the crap out of me.
That's the thing. I don't believe it until I do. I'm like, I don't subscribe to it at all. But if you were like, hey, let's, like the other day we were actually talking about this, about doing a seance in this one house. And they were like, you don't believe in it. And I was like, yeah, but that doesn't mean I fuck with it. Like that's... That's different.
We've all seen it go very wrong in movies, so it's like,
yeah, that's asking for trouble. Like, I mess with good energy. Like I don't.
You're good.
I don't believe in the bad, but I just don't go towards it.
Right.
You're looking for good trouble.
Yeah.
Yes. Right, okay. So sadly, we are wrapping up. Oh my God, I'm so upset. Do you like how my voice changed to like radio announcer voice?
NPR. Yeah. You're listening.
They're so, they all talk so like, I feel sleepy when they're.
You ever wonder if there's like an orientation on it? Maybe there's like a whole like, certification on it, like to get to like silky smooth. Yeah.
It's like eat a spoonful of peanut butter and whisper.
That ASMR, like, this week, Donald Trump.
It's very
bad. Hold on, I have chills right now. ASMR gives me goosebumps in a scary way.
Does it? I don't see. That's the thing. That's another weird energy thing. I just don't subscribe to at all. I'm like, I don't. What?
Don't.
It's not the same, but it reminds me of, like, scratching on a chalkboard. I'm like, yeah. I don't need to like stimulate myself that way.
I guess it relaxes some people. Like my boyfriend says it helps him go to sleep sometimes. Yeah.
Really? I couldn't listen to someone else whispering to me and think to myself, I'm ready. Like that, those two things don't work for me.
They make me feel scared. Okay, so we like to wrap up on a dose of drama, which is just, it could be a piece of content we're consuming, something that we're feeling moody about, something we're feeling dramatic about, or it could just be like anything going on in the world, in pop culture, in the US, anything. Does anybody want to kick it off? Dylan, I know you had one pre-prepared.
Yeah. So by the time this comes out, this might be slightly old news, but there are these, it is fire season in California and on the West Coast right now. And because of climate change, things have never been more like high risk. And these white nonsensical people, I say that as a white man, with their gender reveal parties, there's this recent one that sparked a massive fire. Tens of thousands of acres of forests have already been burned because of this pyrotechnic event gone wrong. And Colton was talking earlier about selfishness. This goes right along with it. It is so selfish that you need to have some massive event. Like, you're already having a baby shower. You probably already took a whole photo shoot with a chalkboard revealing the sex of your child. Like, you do not need to do a freaking fireworks show. It caught onto some brush. It's destroyed all of this wildlife, and it's probably going to destroy a lot of property. We need to just stop doing this, especially in these times. But can we just go away with the concept of a gender reveal party in general? I think it's actually harmful in the long run, and it's just so unnecessary. Do people bring gifts to those? Like, that's
I don't know. I don't even know what the rules would be in terms. Like, thankfully, I haven't gotten an invite because I'd have to not so politely decline. But like, yeah, it's so strange. It's like you. Because people, I personally feel like when you have children, it's like you're deliberately attempting to write your own failure, right? You're like, you're trying to extend your reach of going, okay, I personally have these shortcomings, but I'm going to give everything I have towards this child to hopefully give it something better or give it the chance to do something better. And like, I just feel like there's a lot of forgetting of that, of like the reason of having children. Like, it's the same with like, I talk with older people about, you know, everything going on right now. And they're like, and sometimes they'll just be like, you don't get it. And I'm like, why did you have me? What do you mean I don't get it? I have all the same values as you. You gave them to me. I'm not reading like specifically my mom or anyone for Philly, you know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I have it with friends all the time. I was like, oh, my parents, they're just always, they're like, they went to this Trump rally today. And like, I told them like, you know, and they're like, I'm gay and it fucking sucks. And I'm like, okay, how do they look at you? And they literally are like, they're like, I made you in the image of, I taught you everything that I felt was good in the world. I tried to eradicate everything that was bad from it and gave it to you. And now you only see the world through those eyes. How could the information you have be wrong?
You
know what I mean? Like, I always think it's crazy. We're talking, when they're talking to kids and they're like, you're just not, you're not fully getting it. And you're like, no, I see more than you do. You don't even, you're on fucking Facebook. I'm on this. like catch up. I know.
Preach it. Speak on it, Colton.
But let's get to pop culture. Cause that'd be more. What's everyone watch? I'm watching, I'm a huge Love Island person. So we're currently in the American version cause it's live. And being broadcast from Lost.
And it's every day, right? It's quite the commitment.
Yeah, it's like it is like every okay, day, okay. I think. Yeah,
I have never gotten into Love Island. I'm an Anglophile, so I love all things British, and I.
Oh, you have I to know. Watch. Oh, it's like, especially if we had nothing to do, it's like 50 some odd episodes.
I can do it.
Of just Brits with different dialects oh, yeah. and regional oh, yeah. things that, you know, I'd never heard. And now, you know, you can pick them out. Now it's like, I love a Southern boy. Like, I love a boy from Essex, uh-huh, you know, like uh-huh. that kind of thing. And all they do, and this is truly the extent of it, they just go into a house and they just talk because all they can do is either work out or talk. So they just talk. They like, it's all the same shamelessness of like The mm-hmm. Bachelor, where it's like they come on, they're probably there for the wrong reasons. They're looking for things and they get into something like really hot and heavy fast. And then, you know, then it just fizzles just like any other mm-hmm. reality television series. But the gag is that time goes so slow because all they can do is talk that they break up in some huge thing. Then like 6 hours go by, which feels like 10 days to them. And they just go, well, I guess we should talk about our feelings. Because so it's just incredible. It's just petty people eventually getting to kind of realistic sort of like, well, you're my ex now. What were the reasons why you didn't like me? It is remarkable.
I want to be on it. Experiment. Should I go on it?
Yeah.
What else am I doing?
Fuck you. No. I don't know. Like, why?
Yeah. Wait, do you watch... I know that you tweeted that you watched I May Destroy You. I think you tweeted that.
Yeah,
that was brilliant. I loved that.
Oh my God. I mean, there's like, it's like not even television. It's like, mm-hmm. I mean, I have nothing to add to the greatness of that show. Everyone's, she just better win everything. I mean, she's just like, it's so eerily personal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, and it's something that like, I feel like just in general, like sexual violence, I mean, it's a British show, but like in America, it is something that we don't talk about. We have like, we're practically living in like what is deemed a quote unquote third world country when it comes to violence yeah. against women in this country. It's like one every three women are assaulted by people that they know. It's horrific. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she was like open enough to put all of that very honest, honestly, very funny, like the way it tumbles out is just like, it makes you, it just punches you so hard to be like, get a grip. Like this happens to people all the time. Good people, bad people. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. It's just like, it's a pattern. It's a culture that's being bred and taught in people yep. that it's just okay. And it was so great to hear from the other side of that. Someone who was like, not just a victim, but reclaiming her survivorship mm-hmm. and going, no, fuck that. I'm a whole person.
Yeah.
I don't need it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that was so awesome, especially as men, because we'll never know
what right, that never
like. We oh, actually that's not true, and the show explores that of like what it's like to, so I misspoke, but I mean
it does explore that,
and that was really also enlightening. It was like, yes, it does happen, sexual trauma, especially in this like gray area of like what it is to date mm-hmm. now. That was actually, I thought that was super amazing that she even included that entire storyline as well. But there is a sort of different level of, because even in that situation, it was, you know, no, I'm not going to.
I know what you're saying, though. It was it was like every character, it was almost like what it's like to live in this gray area dating era, you know, like everyone sort of woke up in a way, in some way, even if they weren't ready to express mm-hmm. it to her, they were all, I don't know, it was like a new life was awakening within them, that they were able to kind of recognize mm-hmm. trauma or recognize what they are or aren't okay with.
But it's so sad because it's forced yeah. upon them. It is such a thing. It's like no one asked. I mean, yes, they because of the beauty of the show, they all were able to grow mm-hmm. from it. But like none of that should have happened to them. You know what I mean? It's like that's the thing that that kind of trauma forces upon you. And it's just,
yeah.
It's so wrong, and it's just something that doesn't, like, I feel like it talked about nearly enough. Did you guys see like what the Constitution?
Yeah.
Was?
Yes.
I mean, I just sat there and just like, I had no clue what that mm-hmm. was going to be about. And just like, it hurt. I was like, just sitting there, like, I probably haven't hurt that long enough.
Yeah.
Where I was like, she genuinely, I mean, it was the most amazing, like tightrope act of like combining her personal story with like connecting that to like when she says like, you know, they're so this is all happening and yet there are still children in cages, mm-hmm. like on the fucking border. Like the way that she was able to deeply personally give that sort of emotionifier, yeah. like and give like deep personal emotion to such global things that we kind of just like take the emotion out of just because we yeah. have to get through, like it, that hurt.
I think that should be required viewing for everybody. That piece was amazing.
I agree. That piece was, yeah, knocked my socks off kind of thing.
Wait, but in your same tweet about Michaela Cole, you also said Jimbo. Does this reveal that you watch Canada's Jimbo. Drag yeah. Race?
Of course, I watch all Drag Race.
I love
that so much.
Of course.
Were you pleased with the winner?
I really pray that, oh yeah, Priyanka, I was a huge fan of. I wanted Jimbo to win the whole thing, but I feel like this will now give Jimbo, I hope this causes a crossover where Jimbo's yeah. all stars.
I would almost bet my life that they will start bringing in the UK yes. and Canada girls to All Stars.
They should.
I have tea on this. I have like insider scoop. I haven't publicly talked about this on the pod, but I have a friend who is good friends with a queen who was on Canada's Drag Race and All Stars 6, which is filming right now or was filming in August. Was supposed to have queens from international, like Canada and UK, but because of COVID and, you know, not being able to travel, they yeah. had to nix the idea for now. But so we were going to see it as soon as next year. And I think Jimbo would have been on, I think.
Probably Bag of Chips from UK.
Bag of Chips. For sure.
I could have seen like Cheryl Hole doing it. I don't know. I feel like that would have been so exciting.
Maybe oh my something God. Wong.
Maybe,
yeah. A bag for sure. I love we were all like,
we were nice. We were nice.
Hey. but I loved Rita Baga actually. So I was rooting yeah. for her. I love that you watched. Do you watch with your girlfriend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She, you know, a bunch of my college friends, we all got into yeah. it, you know, and I started on All Stars 2.
The best season.
And I still have a deep affinity for Katya, and I still think it's wrong that she didn't win. I know.
But, she's great.
I mean, Alaska's amazing, but like, I just felt, I don't know. I thought there was some kind of missed opportunity there. But I also feel at heart like a Katya. That's the one I feel the most.
I was going to ask you who you connect with the most in the franchise.
That's the one I connect with the most. I'm not sure. Adrian always says it's not the one that I am. We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I'm exactly like as my like superhero, like I would dress up uh-huh. Halloween. But I think it would, for me, I wish I was a Katya if I'm not
uh-huh. that. Yeah. Katya, feel was you rooted for Katya so
in,
much.
In
you know?
My heart, I feel like Bibi Zahara so Benet.
Ratikitikita.
That's right.
Pussy.
you're a stan.
Who isn't in this day and age?
I love that as a straight man, you connect with Drag Race.
Oh, don't give me that. Like,
who? Everyone. I know. No, that's right.
It's not me. It shan't be some sort of allyship. It's just genuinely great, and everyone should love
everyone
it.
Everyone should. I guess yeah. I don't know many straight people that do straight men that do watch it though. Yeah.
Really?
But
oh, really? Interesting. I just feel like all I hear about now is like how much everyone enjoys. But I guess that's everyone's like, oh, everyone loves.
Yeah, that. That's true.
But it is like even if streamers aren't watching it like outwardly, I mean, it's still a billion-dollar franchise. So someone's true, watching yeah. it in the house. You know what I mean? Whether or not they're telling everybody, someone's watching it because they ain't making that kind of numbers. Just
yeah, really. So true. Okay, wait, really quick. I do have a dose of drama, and this is pop culture related, and then we'll go. But Katy Perry dropped a new album end of August, and it's really good. You know, she hasn't come out with a new one in a while.
Yeah.
It's just really short. I would have loved like a couple more songs or maybe an extended edition. But I do have the reason I'm feeling dramatic about it is I feel as if Katy Perry hasn't really had huge hits since her Teenage Dream album era. She was breaking records. I mean, That was amazing. And then I did love her next album, Prism, but I was not a big Witness fan. And I think here's my problem with Katy Perry, which is just one little thing. I feel like she doesn't let us in enough on some of the darker sides of her life or her career or her experiences in the industry. She's really like, she's all about positivity. Purposeful Pop was her whole Witness era thing.
Oh yeah.
And even this album, like she's got a couple songs that are like, you know, like I'll Cry About It Later or, you know, all this stuff. But, you know, it's not talked about enough that her Teenage Dream album, most of those songs were produced by Dr. Luke. And then she's never spoken publicly about Dr. Luke. I would have loved like an angry, confessional, Jagged Little Pill style Katy Perry album that's like, because she's got that in her. Like, you know, like she's got that song Circle the Drain that's like so dark.
That was her beginning. Yeah. Was like, she was very much like, that's why she started singing, right? It was like all that, was like Alanis. Mm-hmm.
You're
like
right. That. You're exactly right. I would have loved.
Yeah, that was like her
maybe
whole thing.
Maybe I just wish one day she would give us that like angsty, because she's, you know, her movie Part of Me, which chronicled her text message divorce from Russell Brand.
Well, you just gave that a chef's kiss. I need to just state that for the record.
Beautiful doc. It's amazing. And if you don't have enough respect for Katy Perry, you have to watch the doc. Because actually, Adrian maybe watched that for that. Because back then, I was like, yeah, I mean, she makes good music. Yeah. I was like, whatever. And then she showed me and I was like, that woman is an artist. No one will tell me otherwise. She is an artisan. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, the watching her just like executive produce her own tour of being like, realizing all the crazy Candyland was like her idea. I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How could one person have so much
vision
as well?
Yeah. She's a genius.
I get what you mean though. I get what you mean because I feel like it, yeah, it feels like it's darkness. It's not personified. It's like every time she's like Daisies, like that whole song, I'm like, okay, I get that maybe at one point you felt like this, like you were the long shot, you were the one in a million, but that feeling is long gone. You've been singular for quite a long time. You're not the small town girl anymore. I get what you mean. It just feels like the darker parts feel like dark adjacent. It's like someone else's story.
Yeah. Our friend Isaiah mentioned this, so I'm taking this from him. But Colton, what does it mean to be covered in daisies?
Come probably.
Probably something like that. Katy does always kind of have a wink. I do feel like, you know, the whipped cream.
Well,
bra.
Also her daughter's name Daisy.
That's
true.
Yes.
Covered in little daisies. Yeah.
There you go. That was like a hidden, that was a wink.
No, and she also, in one of the songs, she's like, now I'm in full bloom. It's like, yeah, because Orlando Bloom is your man. He's so hot. Oh my God. Okay. And he's still hot.
He's been great since, he's in two mega franchises.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, why is he not like, still in a lot of things? He was in two of the biggest movie franchises of the early 2000s, like things that get watched on TNT every
Two
weekend.
Towers is always on
every weekend. I know.
I mean Pirates is like, people forget, but like that was like one of that trilogy was like one of the like most successful things probably ever, like still is.
Yeah, and they're rebooting it now with Margot Robbie
already.
She's gonna be like a female Jack Sparrow type character.
I mean, she's great, but like, can't she play a different?
I know. Give us a new story.
Pirate, like, doesn't have to be this? Like, why is it always the same?
Well, Disney loves their formula. We could go on and on and on. Colton, listen, this has been beyond my wildest dreams. This, you're so cool in real life, just as amazing as you are on stage, and we're very thankful you gave us this time today. Seriously.
You're very kind. Thank you. You guys are awesome. I'm so glad we had this.
Well, everyone, thank you. Everyone follow at Colton the Wizard on Twitter and Instagram.
Or at Your Wizard Colton on TikTok, because that's the thing now.
Oh.
I'm gagged. I'll have to give it a
follow.
We'll
have to share the TikToks. Yeah.
I love that. And also follow at The Drama Podcast, at Connor McDowell, at Dylan McDowell.
Check out all of our merchandise. Colton, we will follow you forever. Thank you so much for today. All right. And Connor, We'll see you next time.
Drama.